Good evening. Welcome to the Solera Report. This is the weekly money and markets. It's Thursday, April 8th, 2021. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. On the website, the injection fraud should be with everybody except Australia and New Zealand. We're trying to figure out how to how to get it across the border. Anyway, thank you for your patience. Any ideas of printers we could have print it and ship it there? I'd love to know them. The third quarter Visions of Freedom is mailing out from Hickory Valley, Tennessee to U.S. print and digital subscribers, and then it's mailing out to Europe and the rest of the world from the Netherlands. So it's almost all shipped and it's working its way towards you. And we hope the mailing takes a lot less than 90 days this time. It's really beautiful. You can see the PDF version on the website. The Going Direct Reset wrap-up, which is the 2020 annual wrap-up, has gone into graphics design, and it will be headed to the printer shortly. So the web version is up, and you can read it. It's a must-read follow-up to State of Our Currencies. Then we're working, of course, this is all part of the first quarter 2021 take action during April, and we hope to do, among other things, a live training session later this month for subscribers who want to do Solera Circles. We're testing some new software to support them. And if you're interested in being one of the testers or prototypers, let us know at customerservice@solera.com. We'd like about 5 subscribers who are interested in doing Solera Circles and having some support software, and that'll take some of the pressure off subscriber input, which has gotten quite busy. Take action, again, to remind their German and French translations now for the Family Financial Disclosure Form. And it's launched at pandemic.solera.com. The link are in the show notes and the links to French and German. The Vaccine Board in Canada posted a revised Canadian version, which you can link to from the commentary on the homepage. Take action crowdfund. Donations continue to come in. Thank you so much. The first quarter was dedicated to the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. And if you haven't joined them, it's never too late. Just go become a member and support them if you can. Special reports. We've got a lot going on. There's a new special report from the food series. Pete Kennedy did a wonderful interview with Sally Fallon on synthetic food. It's very important you understand what is happening to the food supply. You can't just go to the store and think what you're buying is safe. It doesn't work that way anymore. Coming up either tomorrow or early next week, David O'Hagan, who is the British author of Battle for Humanity and COVID-19 Injection, which I've recommended very strongly. Again, it should be up shortly, and that's a video interview. We put a post in the homepage for African leaders. There are 4 African heads of state who have opposed the COVID lockdowns, and they're all dead of heart attacks. It's, the question I put on the post is opposing COVID bad for your heart? Celia Farber did an absolutely brilliant write-up on the president of Tanzania, who was one of the most courageous. He had a PhD in chemistry, very knowledgeable in the field of health and science. And you can link to it from the commentary on 4 African leaders. It's really just pictures and the dates of their death. We also republished in a commentary the rebuttal letter sent by the Doctors for COVID Ethics to the European Medicines Agency. It's a remarkable letter that serves a notice of liability for their responsibilities under the Nuremberg Code. And because there's a lot percolating around notice of liabilities, I've invited Jerry Day to do a recording with me on Friday about notice of liabilities. He's been working with Josh DeSaul and Take Back Your Power and has done a lot with notice of liabilities. He has a lot of forms on his website you can use. Then from attorney Matt Hale, the dawn of the virtual jury trial and the end of courtroom justice. A wonderful description of what has been happening to juries during COVID-19. Jury by Zoom is not the same thing. Nina Hein has an inspiring column. Her first, she's calling it a series now, Back to the Museums. She flew up to San Francisco and checked out the Calder Picasso exhibit there. And it's really a delightful, if you like Picasso or Calder, it's really a delightful review. There is, I put up the link to Subscribers Input. There's a lot going on at Subscribers Input. If you haven't checked it out, it's an unbelievably rich conversation, and we're hoping the software to support the circles will help groups who want to conspire together to do so. Our theme this evening is serious because times have turned deadly serious, as we knew they were turning. And our theme is a war for the souls of men. There, we've talked about many aspects of what's going on. It's a legal war. It's a financial war. It's a physical war. But at the heart of it, at the root of it, it's a spiritual war. I had been told by the scientists I most trust that most of the adverse events and deaths from the COVID-19 injections would be 6 to 18 months out. And they're still insisting that is the case. I knew, because this is so experimental and it hasn't been through the proper trials and testing, I knew that the material adverse events and deaths would be bad. I had no idea they'd be as bad as they are. They are exceptionally frightening. I'm going to put a link in the show notes and in the subscription to the Frontline Doctors, put up a selection of material adverse event pictures of people who've been harmed and pictures of people who've been killed. There's clearly a lot of neurological damage. However, what's frightening is, of course, there's very little coverage of that, if any. What you hear is the drumbeat of, oh, there are new terrible mutant strains, and people who get COVID have mental health problems. This is a new one today. You know, it's just the drumbeats of ridiculous fear. And the most frightening reports that I get are, in fact, people who have a strong spiritual background or energetic background who report what they see happening to people energetically. Reports in souls leaving bodies are becoming unattached and cut off from the physical body, so that other intelligences and energies can possess the body. It's almost like the invasion of the body snatchers from a spiritual standpoint. I've seen these kinds of things happen before. When you have heavy metals poisoning or narcotics or pharmaceutical, the sort of spark goes out of people. But the reports I'm getting are, you know, that this is worse. And, you know, what I find is, in a situation like this, there is grace in the universe. So, you know, I'm hoping that for people who are strong spiritually, they can avoid this. We just don't know. And I think it's going to take 6 to 18 months to find out what really the result of this has. I wanted to read a poem from Thomas Edward Brown. It's called Indwelling. Indwelling is a word that, if you're a Christian, you hear often, but people who are not Christians, I don't know how often it's used in other traditions, but just let me read this. If thou couldst empty all thyself of self, like to a shell dishabited, then might he find thee on the ocean shelf and say, this is not dead, and fill thee with himself instead. But thou art all replete with very thou, and hast such shrewd activity, that when he comes, he says, this is now unto itself. 'Twere better let it be. It is so small and full, there is no room for me. And of course, he's writing about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I think the question for each one of us is, what is indwelling in us? Is it, for me, the question is it Christ? Is it my ego? Or is it the devil? Will I let the devil in? And one of the reasons I feel it's so important to do everything to invite the divine in and nurture it, is that is ultimately our protection. But I do believe what's being injected is the effort to implement a mark of the beast system. Because it's so experimental, I think it may take many injections. You know, this is an experiment under the law. It's experimental. It's just a giant experiment. What's interesting to me is so many people who are trained as Christians in what the mark of the beast system is can't see it because it's engineered at the nanoparticle level. It's not visible to their eye, and so they can't conceptualize it as a mark of the beast, but that's exactly what it is. And because it's being designed so that we can't transact without, you know, it's basically the beast's financial transaction system. So there are very profound spiritual questions for each one of us about how we're going to handle ourselves going forward. Money and markets, again, all returns are total return for 2021 year to date. And I'm working with a Wednesday close. U.S. dollar index still holding steady at 2.87%, but despite a record trade balance, trade deficit reported. The trade deficit just keeps going up and we just keep buying more stuff from China. If you listen to the headlines, you'd think there was a trade war in China, but if you look at the trade deficit numbers, it looks like there's a love fest. Fixed income, the long treasury TLT is down 12.9%. A little bit of that reflects increased interest rates. The interest rates are not up on the short end, but they are up over 100 basis points on the long end. And of course, TLT is the long treasury bond, or the ETF for the long treasury bonds. IEF, the intermediate, down 5.18%. The bond aggregate down 3.06%, and junk holding a little bit positive at 1.1%. I put a link in the show notes on the link to the treasury yield curves. If you want to look at the sort of core market yields, the treasury website is a great place to get that data. My message here is inflation, inflation, inflation. Expect the food prices to continue to rise significantly. Expect construction costs to rise significantly. They already have, but it's going to be much, much more. Let me read you a couple quotes that came in today. This is from Blockworks. Here's an idiosyncratic tidbit from a friend of the Blockworks family. Quote, "This is our perspective as a small family bakery. In Q1, we saw every single one of our national suppliers inform us of price increases on most base ingredients, flour, oil, sugar, and packaging materials, boxes, packing peanuts, etc., ranging from 2 to 30%. I would expect to see many wholesalers and retailers starting to adjust their prices accordingly in the next few months. I know we will be." Here's another one. This one is came in from Switzerland, but the original post is from the United States. "This geoengineered cool down is serious bad news for Swiss farmers. It's not the cool down, snow and frost per se. It's the weather whiplash after the unseasonably hot weather we've had for weeks. The small organic farmer I buy from told me yesterday they are very worried for their crops. Temperature below 5 centigrade is critical." And that's exactly what we're seeing. You know, the sap starts to run and then wham, you go back to freezing and you get a real snapback, and it really can be very harmful to the plants. There's another one here that came in through Geoengineering Watch. I'm just picking it up as a comment. "I'm a small-time farmer. Among other things, I raise pears and blueberries, among other things. This is now the 3rd of April. The temperatures in eastern North Carolina should be warm enough that bycrops will be healthy and flourish. I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of small pears on my pear trees, and I had thousands of blooms in my blueberry patch. Despite my best efforts of covering the blooms, I checked tonight, and the vast majority of the blueberry blossoms are absolutely burnt to a crisp, as are my pears. Both crops wiped out in 2 nights of bone-chilling cold that is seasonably unnatural for this part of the state at this time of year. I've spent so much time through the years cultivating those trees and those blueberry bushes, only to have my best efforts wrecked by weather engineering." This is one example of the engineered climate terrorism. And I agree with him. I bet you it is weather engineering. It's one way to get control of the food supply. Equities up 9.11%. I did at the equity overview. Great Rambus Chartology, who predicts bull on. There's no doubt that eating up all the land and real estate and assets on Main Street is good for the stock market. But it's a very ugly disaster capitalism picture, in my opinion. Home builders flying at 25.2%. That represents undersupply in the United States. We saw a back and forth over the last 2 weeks about, quote unquote, a tsunami of foreclosures. The COVID moratorium ends in September, and the question is, will the feds extend it? And if they do, how will that work in the marketplace? It's a very big swing. As of February, there were nearly 3 million homeowners behind on their mortgages, with an estimated 2.1 million mortgages at least 90 days delinquent. And when we did a great interview, we've done three interviews with Marie McDonald, who really understands what's going on the servicing side. And she described what has happened when, you know, sort of with the mess of dealing with the foreclosures when we came out of the financial crisis. And she's very concerned about what could happen in September. This is a very big swing in pricings in the single family market. Okay, the European ETF, VGK, up 7.8%, so a little bit below S&P. Germany up 8.31, so getting close to S&P at 9.11. Again, S&P well over 4,000. The developed markets minus North America up almost 6%. China flat, up only 15 basis points for the year, so essentially flat. That's FXI, the large caps. So there's a very serious stance going on in the Taiwan airspace with Chinese military planes flying into the airspace, flying out. It's almost like a test. And lots of reports from NATO about Russia doing the same, although I'm not clear to me exactly what's happening there. If you look at the back and forth between President Biden and the administration and their promise to basically provide national security cover for Taiwan, you know, there's no doubt that there's a push by the Chinese to test this. And they're clearly, I think, going to try and take advantage. Now, you'd think that there would be tensions with China, but if you look at the trade deficit, we're more dependent on them than we ever were. So, you know, there's a deeper story going on here. Emerging markets up 3.68%. Commodities up 11%. If you look, as I said, inflation is, if you look at the commodities markets, it looks to me like, you know, the 15-year bear is over and we're back to strong in commodities. Gold down 8.75% for the year and silver down 5.05. I talked a little bit about it. Rambus in the Chartology last week has a very good section on precious metals. It's clearly consolidating, and I think we ought to have a real opportunity sometime this year once it hits bottom. Oil very strong, up 60 to 70%. The Suez Canal blockages have clearly helped. A report came out about Russia talking about providing significant rail service across Asia. And there's no doubt that you can dramatically cut times if you can get economic rail service. Let me just read you some of the notes from the article. China doubled cargo traffic goods by rail through Russia and Asia in the first 2 months of the current year. At rising prices in the long sea delivery are forcing Beijing to increase rail transportation. The founder of the world's second largest aluminum company said on Telegram, this is one of the oligarchs, he added that the blockage of the Suez Canal could persuade the international community to rapidly develop railroad transportation from Asia to Europe. The most obvious and economically justified goal is to turn Russia into a major hub that could become a fully functional link between Europe and Asia. Now, this is important because remember, the EU is China's biggest customer by far. So the level of sort of GNP and GDP going back and forth between Europe and China is growing very, very strong. And the number of countries in the world who have China as their number one trade partner are now almost more than doubled, the countries that have U.S. Also on RT, Russia, the Suez Canal, which accounts for about 15% of all shipping traffic, was blocked when the 400-meter container vessel Ever Given was grounded across the waterway. The blockage placed immense pressure on supply chains and could reportedly have cost global trade up to $10 billion a week. The oligarchs stressed that the reconstruction of the key rail line, the so-called Siberian Cedar Road, could even become a competitive alternative to the Chinese Silk Road connecting Central Asia with Eastern Europe and the Middle East. And then Bitcoin is trading at 56,726. And of course, with the central banks moving into the crypto, you're seeing more and more payment mechanisms accept Bitcoin or various forms of crypto and more interest. So the digital systems are flying. Stories. There's one story that is the most important this week. And it's because this is really, if it happens, the end. Naomi Wolf was on Fox News. She said, this is the end of human liberty and the rest. And she's right. That is not an exaggeration. If this can be implemented, it is the beginning of a slavery system. And I don't use that word. I'm not into pounding the table and trying to scare people, but this is the end. And unless we can stop it. They're called vaccine passports, but they have nothing to do really with vaccines other than vaccines being the installation. And they have nothing to do with passports. And they don't make you free, and they don't make things get back to normal. They are the end of liberty. And this will be a central bank digital control system, and it will put the central bankers in direct control of every person. It's the end of any government sovereignty as well. And as I said before, in my opinion, it's a mark of the beast system. We saw with a vote of 400 to 200 legislators in the EU, they want to move forward with designing and addressing such system, currently considered to be voted on in June. The White House announced that it would not institute a federal system, but it was working on standards. Now, that would make it easy for private businesses and states. And again, I'm just going to say this again. I think it's a great quote from Dr. Naomi Wolf. This is the end of human liberty in the West. This is a control system, and it's a control system where the Federal Reserve and the owners of this central bank will be able to turn off your ability to transact. They'll be able to turn it on and off. It's very, very dangerous. My read, I put in an article from Children's Health Defense and some other information in the show notes, but here's my translation of what the White House said. The Fed's not ready to go with their CBDC, their central bank digital currency system, so they're not willing to have a fight on vaccine passports because they don't need it yet. They're not ready for it yet. So why start a fight? You've got numerous state governors who are not on board. DeSantis in Florida, Greg Abbott in Texas, and lots of percolation among, Missouri, Georgia. So there's real pushback from the state legislators because they understand if the Fed can turn the money on and off of their citizens, no more state government. And, you know, who knows if there'll be a state taxation system. And, you know, if you combine this with social credit systems, you know, again, we're back to slavery. So the state legislators understand, you know, sort of what's going on and what they mean. Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, said the Fed was going to go for authorizing legislation for CBDC. Now, they may have a workaround, you know, because going in for a full authorizing legislation is going to be a huge political mess. They have to buy a lot of people. But if you look at the speed they're printing money, you know, I'm sure they can afford it. There's one headline this week. The U.S. has spent $10 trillion in the last 12 months. That's equal to the GDPs of Japan, Germany, and the U.K. combined. Anyway, so clearly they can throw money at it, but the authorizing legislation makes it more tricky. And I'm assuming as either part of that or building up to that, they're going to do everything they can to get the system in place. I think given the resistance they're getting on the injections, if I were them, I wouldn't try and push for the passports now. I'd try and get as many people injected as possible. Because if you look at the number one marketing technique they have right now, it's mind control. And the more people they can inject, the easier it's going to be to mind control and get people to do what they want. Anyway, so it's extremely important to understand that these quote-unquote passports are really a connector to the financial transaction system. And if you look at the number of people who are licking their chops about all the money they're going to make from the banks, the credit card companies, big tech, telecommunications, pharma, defense, contractors, satellite companies, smart grid and smart city providers, and the related real estate, you know, it really is a gold rush. And as I've said many times, it's not them who are building this. You know, it's whoever Mr. Global is. Mr. Global's not building the slavery system. The humans are building the slavery system. And if you look at what they're giving up to make a little bit of money, you just can't believe it. I would note, speaking of digitizing everything, Illinois announced it's moving its birth registry to a blockchain. So guess what's going to click right into it? There are reports from Russia that a similar system is being worked on and promoted in Russia. So this is clearly a very global issue. One of the things John Titus and I talked about last week is why the tax filing delay in the United States. We don't know. But there it is. It's taxes won't are not due until May, which is a big relief to many people. Biden is doing everything he can to return a deal with Iran. It looks like he's going to have to cancel all sanctions. My guess is this is finally the group that did the deal under Obama, who's terrified they're going to have to give their kickbacks, finally getting everything right with Iran. And because Iran has them all over a barrel on the kickbacks, they can negotiate very tough. This is after China and Iran inked a long-term deal, you know, setting up a framework for bilateral action for many years to come. Interestingly enough, when they signed it up, they were both wearing masks, which tells you we truly have a global problem. The growth of the U.S.-China relationship continues to astonish. It's strong. The money doesn't lie. And as I said, the U.S. trade deficit has hit a record high, and the growth of our dependence on China just continues to grow. Our movie this week is Seven, which is a documentary about the four-year engineering study by a professor and engineer at the University of Alaska Fairbanks to look at the collapse of Building 7 at 9/11. So clearly the collapse of Building 7 destroys the official story. The study was published in March 2020 and didn't get a whole lot of attention, as you can imagine, because the pandemic had started in New York where 9/11 happened. What a coincidence. There are a lot of very interesting coincidences. I chose As the Blast of the Past to dovetail with Seven, a wonderful documentary James Corbett made many years ago called 9/11 Trillions Follow the Money. And he gets many, but not all, but many of the financial angles on the building. And to a certain extent, 9/11 was a financial crime. And it really helps to understand the financial aspects and to follow the money. And a really brilliant, it's one of Corbett's best. So Seven in Let's Go to the Movies, and then dovetailing with it, 9/11 Trillions Follow the Money from the Corbett Report. Our hero this week is a fantastic gentleman that I did not know about until a wonderful Australian subscriber sent me his 9-page letter that he wrote to the Australian Tax Office. For somebody, he and his family have built a very large building supplier business in Australia, and he's a former director of ANZ and chairman of Woolworths. So this is somebody who's had a lot of very significant business leadership responsibility in Australia. Anyway, so he wrote this letter, and it is a brilliant and heartwarming description of how technocracy is destroying businesses and destroying productivity. And it's a thing of beauty. And if you want to hear the primordial scream of a very intelligent, capable, trustworthy man, businessman on what's wrong with technocracy and what it feels like to watch your business destroyed by it. What they're trying to do is to get everybody to map out all the data they need to completely re-engineer all the businesses with AI and software. So they're constantly asking all of us to disgorge more and more data, more and more data, more and more data. And then, of course, that data is going to be used to, you know, buy us up cheap, take us over, win away our market share. You know, it's a very dirty game. It's economic warfare. Anyway, but John Dolson, you can go to the Hero Commentary on the Salary Report and link to his letter in the Australian. It was published on March 31st. It's a, if you're a business owner who's suffering with technocracy, you'll get a big kick out of it. Our interview this evening is none other than part one of my two-part discussion that I do with Dr. Joseph Farrell every wrap-up, and what a joy it is to talk with him. I just want to again compliment the News Trends and Stories team at Salary, including Brad Edens, who's our wonderful sort of wrap-up News Trends and Stories editor. It's a part-time job, and he puts in some long weeks coming into the wrap-ups. And what we do is we, during the quarter and during the year, we collect all the headlines. You can go check out the News Trends and Stories section on the website. And then we call them down to what the most important headlines are, which will show up in the tables in the wrap up. You can see the web presentation. Just click from your commentary, and the news trends and stories section is over there. Anyway, and so we call them down to the most important headlines, and then we go through them and sit down and figure out in the different areas what are the most important stories of the quarter. So in part one, we discuss with Joseph economy and financial markets and geopolitics, which are at this point so intertwined, it's hard to keep them separate as categories, and you'll see that. Anyway, so Joseph and I recorded these on April 3rd. And a Saturday was a long and, as always, delicious conversation. So this is the first 10 stories, and then next week we'll have part two and also the unanswered questions. For 4 years, we did a Trump report card, but that's it. The executive branch report card has been retired. So part one with Dr. Joseph P. Farrell, an amazing conversation as always. I'm deeply grateful for his contribution to all of us. He's what a remarkable person. And I've learned a great deal. And every time I do this, I learn more. Our number one story, you're not going to be surprised, the going direct reset. Is a monetary event going to complete the financial coup d'etat? It's and again, if you haven't read the going direct reset in the annual wrap-up commentary and the full-length one on the web presentation, John and I discuss it in about an hour and a half, two-hour video, and then we've got the big web presentation. And again, those should go to the printer this month, and we'll have them out, I hope, in May. though we're still trying to figure out how we get them to Australia and New Zealand. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, we have part two with Dr. Joseph Farrell, and then we go into the take action part of the first quarter 2020 wrap-up, including our training session on Solaria circles. So we're going to try and dust off the Solaria circles again. The last time we tried to sort of encourage people to do circles, they couldn't quite get why they needed to, you know, sort of have a group to watch their back. And I think now everybody does. So as I always close, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, now is definitely a good time to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.